Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a vision for you big book study. My name is Sherry M. and I am gratefully recovered today from compulsive overeating. Today is Thursday, December 15th, and today we are reading from the big book, and we are on page 49, reading the first paragraph. Today's readers are Leslie M., Becca R., Stephanie L., and the reference number for December 14th, 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting is 19,750. And the share ID from this morning, 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting, is 19,756. OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose, OA's fifth tradition, states each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At A Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. I will now ask Julie M. to read the 12 steps.
Good morning. This is Julie M. from Oregon with your 12 steps. 1, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our life had become unmanageable. 2, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to God, to the care of God as we understood Him. 4, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. 6, we're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7, humbly ask Him to remove our shortcomings. 8, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9, made direct amends to such people whenever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. 12, having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry the message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you.
Thanks so much, Julie. And I will now ask Stephanie L. to read the 12 traditions.
Good morning, Stephanie L., recovered compulsive overeater in Southern California. 1, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. And 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities.
Thanks so much, Stephanie. Okay, how our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes, and I'll be timing everyone. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass, and then press star 1 to mute your phone again. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted. Today, we resume our study of the Big Book. We are on page 49, reading the first paragraph only, and I will now ask Leslie M. to begin reading.
Good morning, Sherry. Thank you for your service. I am Leslie M. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from Long Island, New York. Instead of regarding ourselves as intelligent agents, spearheads of God's ever-advancing creation, we agnostics and atheists chose to believe that our human intelligence was the last word, the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and end of all. Rather vain of us, wasn't it? You know, it's very interesting. I listened to the earlier meeting this morning and got so many new insights into this paragraph. It's a small paragraph, but it's absolutely before I got recovered, that's exactly what I thought it was. I thought my human intelligence, I knew everything, you know, I could tell everyone else how they should live their life. I was in charge of everything. Everything should go my way. You know, and when I think about it now, I think about exactly how vain that was to think that I would know what was best for someone else. Now I go around saying, I'm barely in charge of my own life, let alone anyone else's, because I don't know what's best for anyone else. You know, I certainly have learned. So I guess, you know, it's funny, you know, I didn't realize that, you know, being an intelligent agent or spearheads of God's ever advancing creation was what, basically what I was trying to do, but it's true. You know, I'm trying to live that God-centered life, that life where, I stop and I pause and I say, okay, God, what's next? In fact, I had a situation last night where, I sent a card through my nephew to his wife, and I expected a response. I expected a thank you, and I didn't get it. And, you know, by this morning, I had done a 10-step on it, and I realized I have no idea what was going on in their house yesterday, you know? And maybe she didn't even get the card. Maybe you didn't give it to her, you know. But I don't have to go there and say, oh, I have this expectation, you know. Now I can say, I don't know. I don't know how this works, you know. And perhaps I'm going to, you know, in the future, I will hand a card to a person directly so that I can get a reaction or not. You know, I don't know if that's the important part. But I find that I have to keep my selfishness out of the way, my self-centeredness, you know, will still pop up. It will still come out and rear its ugly head and say, yeah, you know, this is the way it should work. You know best. And when in fact I don't. And in order to be, you know, a spearhead of God's new ever-advancing creation, I need to be able to step back and say, you know, I want to go to God's work, but I can't do God's job. And I have no idea how anything is actually supposed to happen, so that I have to step back and say, okay, I'm not in charge. I'm not in control of this. And, you know, my life is going to continue on and I'm going to have a good life as long as I remember these things and, you know, take that step back and say, okay, you know, it didn't happen the way I thought it was going to happen, but it happened exactly the way it was supposed to happen. And I can accept these things today and, you know, and continue on. And that's all I got. With that, I pass. Thank you.
Your timing was precise and impeccable. Thank you so much, Leslie, for getting us started this morning. Wonderful to hear you. Set the tone for a great meeting. And before I take any names, I would just like to let those know that maybe aren't familiar with our format, that we ask that if you have shared in the last 2 days, so if you've shared on any Vision for You calls on Wednesday or Tuesday, we ask that you just hold back today and let others share because we have so many people on the line. And so here we go. I'm going to repeat your names as I hear them, and I'm ready. Bonnie
Bruce
V. from Minnesota.
Beth Bonnie V. from Pennsylvania.
Sylvia F.
Sylvia F. Okay, there was Bonnie B. I think there was a gentleman. In
Linda W. from Las Vegas.
Hang on 1 second, please. There was Bonnie B. I missed the voice in between Beth V., Sylvia F., and Linda W. Was there somebody who said your name early on that I missed?
Did you get Bruce E.?
I did not, and that's the one I was looking for. Thank you, Bruce. So,
right,
so far I have
you.
Bonnie B., Bruce E., Beth V., Sylvia S., Linda W. Anyone else in this lineup? Okay, let's start with these five. Go ahead, Bonnie, you're up.
Good morning, everyone. Thank you for your service, Sherry and Leslie. Thank you for the beautiful intro. I'm going to start my timer. This is Bonnie B., Minnesota, gratefully recovered today by the grace of God. Every single paragraph is amazing to me, and I think this is what makes this program such a spiritual one. Things that I've read in the past didn't jump out, and today I like the opening share, had a chance to listen to the first hour a little bit too. And I'm going to come at this from a different perspective. You know, this chapter, We Agnostics, was a really tough chapter for me when I first came in because I came in as a believer. And so I, in my prejudice, instantly said, I'm not agnostic, I'm not an atheist. I've come to understand that I actually can be both of those as a believer, depending on my positioning. And that positioning is always my desire to pretend that I am infinite God instead of finite Bonnie B. from Minnesota. But even as a Christian, you know, the thing that popped out to me today is even as a Christian, when I would take things to God in prayer, I still had an agenda. I mean, it's amazing to me. 6 children, a bunch of grandbabies. I always had an agenda. I never said, your will, not mine, be done. I came to God with a specific agenda of exactly how I wanted things to play out. And again, that is me pretending that I am God and not trusting God to be the God that he is, knowing that he loves the ones that I'm praying for more than I could ever love them. This is such an interesting paragraph because what it comes down to is that full surrender, which is that step 3, which I take every single morning. You know, I open the palms of my hands, I offer it all to God, and yet throughout the course of the day, I have so many opportunities to pause and ask myself, am I trying to manage it again through a whole host of different ways that I would do it, really masquerading as though I'm yielding to God when I'm not, or am I truly surrendering all of it to God? It is it's amazing, it's beautiful, because in the end, no matter how I slice it, if I am not fully surrendering all things to God at all times, I am believing that I am God and that I have the power to do those things that only he can do. And so grateful for each of you. Welcome to all the newcomers. You are in such an amazing spot, and I will pass with that. Thanks again, everyone.
Thanks, Bonnie. Next up is Bruce E., followed by Beth. Go ahead, Bruce.
Yeah, Bruce E. in I'm on Sanibel Island, Florida, and noticing that, this place was a jewel, you know, and now it's total, it was destroyed. There's nothing left. So, the Lord giveth, the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. I love that reading this morning. I was an atheist, agnostic all my life, until age 38. And rather vain, wasn't it? You know, I mean, rather vain right now to think anything. You know, I mean, I just think I know it all or have it all together or can tell people what to do or give advice or any of that stuff. You know, I mean, I thought I was the beginning and the end, you know, the Alpha and Omega. If I didn't believe in God, then who did I believe in? I believed in myself, and I failed myself. I failed everything. You know, I failed at everything because I was only believing in myself, and myself wasn't enough ever. You know, I never could make it because I thought I was the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. And I still go back to that kind of thinking. You know, I didn't just get rid of all the ego, pride, arrogance when I, you know, changed my mind about not being the Alpha and Omega. I still was, had all those character defects stuck all over me, you know, and they continue to come out. What's the answer? Well, the answer is realize that there's a God and I'm not it. And, God is God. I'm not God. And I'm just his agent, you know, his person that he uses maybe to help somebody. If I can just help one person today, that would be good. If I can think back on the end of the day today and say, man, I helped somebody today, you know, that makes it worth it to be here, you know, and be able to do that. So how do I get rid of this ego, pride, arrogance? That's the question. By helping other people and by surrender, you know, surrender my life to my higher power, you know, and recognize that I'm not the Alpha and Omega. I'm not the beginning and I'm just this guy that is trying to serve him. And that's it. Just trying to do that, you know, trying to do that one more day of trying to serve them. So thanks for letting me share. Appreciate the meeting. Appreciate everybody doing service here. And I pass.
Thanks, Bruce from Florida. Beth V is up next.
Good morning, everyone. My name is Beth V, as in Victor, from Pennsylvania. I'm very grateful also to be here today and to be abstinent and recovered. This paragraph is to me was about ego deflation and learning to admit that I don't know things. I am so grateful to be reminded today that I have a new job in life, and it is to be acting as an intelligent agent of God and to be a spearhead. I've had a lot of jobs in my lifetime so far, and now I have to add in this new job that has been given to me through working this program. I am to do this work now, to lead the way the best I can and to spread the word of this program, the 12 steps in the big book. And I better not get too puffed up about my new job either, which I really might like to do, being human after all. I often find that through my example in my daily affairs, be the way, be the words, you know, for me to just show up and be the best example that I can be today, I can spread kindness and goodwill rather than ego and my way. I try to live as a recovered member of Overeaters Anonymous by showing up every day, by speaking up, by trying to be of service. And it is very different from my previous way of life, putting aside myself and my ego and pride and finding ways to be of service today and seek to do it again tomorrow. And for me, there's a shift that takes place within me that I cannot explain when I turn to this power greater than myself. And I am simply very humbled when I feel this power. And I get peace and serenity and warmth and a feeling, a great feeling that I wouldn't want anyone to miss that feeling. Instead of walking around with unpleasantness and resentment or fear in my heart, I'm grateful that I listened today and heard, and I was reminded about being a pumpkin and turning back into a pumpkin during midnight. And I wake up again the same way every day, back to being a compulsive overeater, and I have to start again and start the work again. So I'm very, very happy to be here. And with that, I will pass.
Thank you so much, Beth V. Sylvia S. is up next, followed by Linda, and then I'll be taking some more names. Go ahead, Sylvia.
Hello, fellows. This is Sylvia F., as in Fox, in Portland, Oregon, formerly in California. A great reading and a great reminder, great shares. The first thing I want to do is share that I am 1 year abstinent today, coming out of relapse. I came in at 2005, many years of abstinence and recovery, and then relapsed. So 1 year ago today, I wrote in the front of my big book, Dear God, I surrender, period, again, period. And that has directly to do with this paragraph. If you're just new to the program and you're hearing a lot of God talk, I am not a Christian. I came in and I love when I understood that agnostic meant without knowledge. And I definitely came in without knowledge. And I didn't even know why I needed to understand this. But what this power greater than myself does, and I've shared this before, but early on, it was probably the fellowship, and then it was nature. And then I could feel, when I could surrender, I could feel that there's something else out there, and it doesn't matter what. And I'm just not in the debating society anymore. I can call it God, but it is not a Christian omnipotent God. It's just it's not me, and I feel it. It's a spiritual feeling. So what it does is that when I can have this relationship with this power greater myself, I start in the mornings with the third step prayer, which is asking to get out of the bondage of self, which is me and my, you know, this belief that I was, my intelligence was enough. It was going to be, that was going to be able to solve everything. And now I understand that my intelligence will solve me nothing. It's a cognitive part of my brain. And what happens with me, I get into self. If I'm having an uncomfortable thought or a feeling, I will try and change you or change the world so I feel better. So this gets me out of that. If I'm not feeling that way, then I am not trying to medicate through food. So abstinence is absolutely critical. I need to have a clear head. But unless I'm practicing this program of getting out of myself, which means somebody else has to be out there, I'm never going to have a comfortable abstinence. I'm never going to have the recovery that's described in the big book, which is to be free. And that's what I wanted, and that's what I still want every day. When I do my third step prayer in the morning, the next thing I do is I sit with God, sit with this power, this feeling, and I ask, who would you have me be today? And what would you have me do today? And I do hear my time is up. And I just sit with that because I can feel who God or this spiritual whatever would have me be if I get away from my list and out of my mind. And with that, I pass.
Thank you, Sylvia F. from Oregon. Linda W. is up next.
Hi, this is Linda W. from Las Vegas, Nevada. I'm so happy to be here. I've been gone away for like a week. I call it, I've been in rehabilitation. I've been with my sister who's in program, and she got me going again in abstinence. And so this is kind of critical for me that my ego is, you know, there's my defect. My willingness to let go has been very difficult. But I now see it. I will not have a full life unless I let go and listen and let God be God, you know, Linda be Linda. And I've been in a program for a long time. I also got on the visions at 4 o'clock in the morning. But this is so powerful. Both of these meetings have been wonderful to me, and I can say that I'm thankful. And God is leading me the way, and abstinence is the key. Without abstinence, I feel that I can't be clear, and I won't ever have freedom. So God help me stay abstinent, and God bless you all. Thank you for listening to me.
Thanks so much, Linda W. from Nevada. We're glad you're here. And I forgot to wish Sylvia a happy 1 year just a minute ago. So happy 1 year anniversary. And now before I take another lineup, I would just like to let everybody know who's maybe joined us after we began that we're reading from We Agnostics today, page 49, the first paragraph only. And if you have not shared on any Vision for You call on Wednesday or Tuesday, please give me your name now if you'd like to share this morning.
Wendy V. from California.
Wendy B.
Deborah G.
Deborah G. Okay, let's start with these two. Go ahead, Wendy B.
Good morning, everyone. Wendy V. as Victor from California. I just loved everyone's share, and I loved what you read out of the big book. And I heard some people describing how they worked with God. Not like God is the creator, God is the almighty. More like, hey, God, this is what we're going to do today. And I, too, prayed for many years telling God, this is how it's going to work, and this is what I need you to do. And I manipulated spirituality the same way I manipulated people, places, and things. I didn't turn to God and go, what would you have me be? Which is what I've been practicing for a while now. I wake up, what would you have me be? Not, here's what I want, here's where I want to go, here are the things I want to accomplish. Here are the people you need to fix because, you know, I need to feel better. But just so simple and so different than the way I used to pray. God, what would you have me be? And somebody mentioned having a new job. And if you read in the big book, it talks about having a new employer. Every day that I wake up and when I put my thoughts in God's hands first and ask, what would you have me please? I have a new job in life every single day. There's a certain amount of excitement because it's not the unmanageability and the control that I've lived with. It's exciting to know that what could happen could be anything if I put it in God's hands. So every day I wake up and I feel excited that God is the one who's creating this earth, who's making the waves, who's given me direction, and who could take and put me anywhere. And I can't come to any of these new changes on my own. So thank you, everyone, for letting me share.
Thank you so much. And thank you, Wendy V. as in Victor from California. And next up, we have Deborah G. in Arizona.
Oh, good morning. Good morning. Thank you so much for your service and leading us this morning and everyone that has made this meeting possible. And welcome to all the newcomers. So glad you're on the line and congratulations for 1 year, Sylvia, and oh, just all of us together. And all your shares, thank you so much for 12-stepping me today because I need to continue to hear what you share to keep that saturated in my mind, saturated with your words. you know, yes, because for my honesty, I couldn't get honest with myself. I love that first paragraph. It says, when you honestly, I couldn't get honest with myself about, you know, saying I was a compulsive overeater. And I kept playing around with my food, And I kept relapsing and relapsing. And I couldn't understand what was going on. I really couldn't. You know, I was so deluded. And I found that when I finally put that last alcoholic food down, I got myself a vision sponsor, and she took me through the steps quickly. She says, in that case, you may be suffering from an illness which only a spiritual experience will conquer. And you know what happened was when I went through those beautiful 12 steps, just taking the action, going through with her guidance and her love and her experience. And honestly, I finally got honest. You know, then I found that something shifted in me just by taking the action. I didn't do it. It was done to me just by going through and doing that. You know, and then going through the rest of the steps and living them. You know, it's just an amazing experience. And yes, I need to continue to stay connected every morning, you know, with everything that I do, the prayers, the meditation, working with others. I'm taking two people through the steps right now. You know, that came further down in this whole experience and living in 10, 11, and 12 while I was living in step one. It's just amazing. And I'm thanking you all so, so very much again and again for what you so have given me in this program. Thank you.
Thanks, Deborah G. And now I'd like to take some more names. So please give them to me one at a time. We have time for a few more.
Mo H.
Mo H.
Natalie.
I think I heard a Linda W.
Okay. Natalie.
Natalie. Okay, I have Mo H, Linda W, and Natalie. Was there anyone else?
Christina W.
Christina W. All right. Why don't we start with
I shared before. This is Linda W. Thank you.
That's what I thought. Okay, yeah, you were. Okay, thank you. I don't know if you can tell, but I'm having some hearing issues this morning, maybe because I had a bad cold. I'm all clogged up. Okay, so I have Mo H, Natalie, and Christina. Let's start with these three, and if I missed you, I'll try to get you after these three share. Go ahead, Mo H.
All right, Sherry, thank you very much for your service. I understand that. My name is Mo H, recovered compulsive eater here in Walnut Creek, California. You know, I want to say, listening to this chapter being read this time around, it's been many times I've read it, it's coming alive for me, just listening to all your shares and the explanations of, you know, steel girders we had yesterday and this and that and the other thing. What I want to say about, you know, my self-will, you know, instead of regarding ourselves as intelligent agents, spearheads of God, we agnostics chose to believe that our human intelligence was the beginning and the end. And, you know, I learned recently that my ego gets in the way all the time. And I was saying to somebody, you know, that I have a difficult time asking for help, especially, you know, since my husband passed, I have to ask for help a lot more often, especially with just even, you know, things around the house. But she said, you know, when you don't ask for help, you're that's your ego. That's, you know, reverse pride. And so, you know, this particular paragraph is telling us, you know, it's rather vain of us, wasn't it, that I didn't rely on God. And another thing that I was reminded of when Sylvia said she wrote in the front of her book, that I wrote in the front of my book in 2019. My sponsor had me write this: "Dear Mo, you are never going to have your way again as long as you live. Love, God. P.S. If you follow the directions in this book, you will then thank me for it one day at a time." And that's really been a powerful thing, that, you know, I used to get my way all the time. I learned very well from my mom. She was the director of the house, and then I learned to be the director of the house, and with five kids, you know, there's a lot of directing that goes on. But, you know, I have learned over the years and with the study of this book to slowly keep my mouth shut. I call it restraint of tongue. Keep my mouth shut and let others, you know, make decisions for themselves, especially my adult children, that, you know, I don't need to be telling them how to do this and that and what to do, but letting God be my director throughout the day. And as I heard other people say, I get up in the morning and I get on my knees when I can, and I ask God, what is your will for me today? You know, this is my plan. And then, you know, let God look at it and then say, well, what is your will for me? And sometimes that plan changes. So with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Perfect timing. Thanks so much, Mo H. in California. Natalie is up next.
Okay. Thank you. Yeah, this is Natalie S., and I am currently in Arizona. And I just, you know, in the last 2 days, as I've been listening to the vision meetings, but let me say first, I'm on step three, so there's lots of changes, and I have a wonderful sponsor. And one of the things that I really appreciate and am grateful for in this program is that, related to these passages, how each of you and then collectively the group, I see them as signposts. And I'm learning to see my desires for food as a sign from God that I need to make a call, or I need to offer myself in service to somebody else. And I just, that image takes the pressure off, at least for me, of trying to be something or be some intelligent or manipulate the show or direct, as the lady said before me. I've done a lot of directing in my children's lives too, and tried to direct in my life, and it hasn't worked. And so just thank you all for being those signposts. I imagine you all standing there with these neon signs saying, call me and I'm going to point you up, or, you know, to that power. And it's a really lovely, fun little image that I'm finding my higher power, which I do call God, is has a joyful sense of humor and wants us to be happy. And so that's really all I wanted to share. So thank you.
Thanks, Natalie S. from Arizona. And Christina W. is up next. Star one to unmute, Christina.
Hi, can you hear me now?
Oh, yes. Thank you. Go ahead.
Okay. Thank you. So anyways, I've always kind of had things together in my life. I've always been the one to accomplish so much and reach levels that people didn't. And in the midst of this, my ego was growing and growing and growing. And I wasn't aware of it because I was like, you know, I'm a good person. I don't do anything to hurt anybody, you know. But when the pandemic hit, it was the first time that I was left with my thoughts and less distractions. I had finished law school. We were having our second baby. So needless to say, I was emotional, and I started to eat. You know, and I was like, okay, I'm pregnant. You know, I can eat. But it got so far out of control before I knew it. I had gained, I think now, 50 pounds or so. And, you know, I didn't think anything of it because I said, you know, I'm pregnant. But, you know, the pandemic's over, the baby's here, time has passed. And for the first time in my life, I found myself saying, you know, God, it's something I'm missing. I've always been in the church. I've always had devout faith, so I never even questioned my relationship with God. It wasn't even a thought. I just was like, you know, I believe in God. You know, there's no way. But I felt this disconnection, and I felt this subtle unhappiness, and I realized, oh man, you know, something's off, and I couldn't quite figure out what it is. Then I got my bar results, and I failed the bar after being top of my class. And I said, oh man, you know, that was humbling. I cried like never before. And then one day, you know, I just started researching what can I do, and I found OA. And I started to talk to people, and I started to talk to my sponsor, and I had this moment of clarity. And I realized, man, you know, although you think you're this person, you know, you're really messed up. You got a lot of stuff that you, a lot of trauma you never addressed. You know, you just kept going and going and going. And, you know, you can't go anymore. So I saw it to say, I found my ego. And I found the missing link and the disconnect with me and God. And, you know, I'm not recovered. I would love to be. But I'm in a better headspace being aware of my ego, being aware of how selfish of a person I am, being aware of how much control I needed, how much control. And I thought I was successful again, you know, because my control worked. It served me to an extent, but I was hurting below it all. So anyways, I'm glad to have found my ego. I'm glad for the support and the shares today. And I'm just happy to, you know, lift the blind, so to speak. And with that, I pass. Thank you.
Oh, thank you so much, Christina W. And could you tell us where you are calling from, what state, so we can find you on the phone list?
Yes, I'm calling from Michigan.
Thank you so much. All right, everyone, we still have time for another share. Who would like to share this morning?
Anne in Southern California.
Okay, Anne, go ahead.
Thank you so much. My name is Anne. I'm an overeater, and I'm grateful. I suddenly feel like I want to cry. Just my higher powers direction is what I'm continually seeking. And every day I, as part of that seeking direction, do the set aside prayer. And I, every day I'm getting new direction for what I need to do. I've had a chronic pain problem for a long time, but it's been super acute for 6 months where I've been told I need one hip replaced, maybe two, and maybe both shoulders, but it's also in my knees and my lower back and my my heels. And what I have been led to realize by my higher power, first off, is that I need a new food plan, and I'm working with a sponsor and with a group of people in this fellowship on that, which is a miracle. But also that when I had a big weight loss vision back starting in 2019, and I took 40 pounds off and kept it off for 2 years, it was, my life was really different, and I had a lot of quiet, and I could do these huge meditations, and I have a lot of trauma, including ancestral, and I was letting that come up, and I would cry for sometimes 40 minutes at a time, maybe sometimes 10, but I let the dark, dark stuff come up, very dark, and I gave it to my higher power, and I fought with my higher power, and now I'm thinking, I think that had to do with partially why the weight came off. And what's happened in the interim, I've had all these blessings. I met the love of my life. I got married. We have a home we're renovating. I have all these other challenges. It's just been like really exactly the best of times and the worst of times simultaneously. There's so much positive stuff that I think what's happening partially is I feel like I don't get to have the dark emotions, that I'm not supposed to feel them. And the clear message I'm getting from my higher power is I have to have them. Yeah, if I don't let them up, some portion of this pain that is not, it's no exaggeration to say it's literally killing me. If I would have four joints replaced, I'm really not sure I would survive that. I have to find a place somehow. And, you know, even within the rooms, I feel like it's often not seen as acceptable to have these dark emotions because it's just a polite seeming, right? And how can you have these dark emotions when you're so blessed? I'm so blessed. But you know what? If I don't let them up, they're going to kill me. So today I'm just expressing my gratitude for this awareness and my resolve to find a way to get back to that primordial fuel. And as it comes up, I believe I'm going to be more released from this disease. Thanks. I don't know who I am on the phone list. I don't know if I'm in LA or SoCal or Pasadena, but one of those. And would love to hear from anybody. Thanks for letting me share.
Thank you, Anne M. from California. I appreciate your sharing, and you're not alone. Could we please have one more to close us out today? Anybody else want to go ahead and jump in and share on this paragraph that we read?
Noelle E.
Okay, Noelle, you're up. Go ahead.
Oh my gosh, thank you. God, it's so good. Hi everyone, this is Noelle E., gratefully recovered here in Louisiana. And I thank everybody for the service on the line and everybody shared. It is the most painful and the most beautiful time in life. I'm feeling so connected to that that thought. And you know, I when I got out of college, I made this I would always make this joke that I was done learning. I was like, well, I'm done learning for a while. Been learning for the first, 24 years. I'm done learning for a while. And then when my disease just took flight, it was like self-help, all these things that I was like, if I can acquire the knowledge, my human intelligence, we'll have it. I just haven't learned that yet. It was kind of the thinking that it always was. And now, I'm really only reading this one book and saying, I don't know, living in the uncertainty, feeling more empowered by the less I know and the less I have to know, at each moment. And then also, in things like study groups and reading through the big book with other people, like a student, at the same time. It's just like, it's both and. It's so beautiful. It's so painful. It's so alive. And that's the thing, is that it was numbness and, a walking death previously to that. And now being alive is what this existence is. And so I'm just very grateful to be alive. Thank you for letting me share. I'll pass.
Thank you so much, Noelle E. appreciate that. And everyone shares today. Thanks for making it a great meeting. We will now close with a reading from the big book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Will Becca R. please read A Vision for You?
Here I am. Sorry. I'm Becca R. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater calling in from Kentucky. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask Him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with Him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to Him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.